Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together the 14th perek of Divrei Hayamim Aleph. And our perek contains 17 psukim in total, and its parallel parasha in Nach can be found in Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Hei, the second half of that perek. We're going to look at three basic sections. The first is Hiram's gift, the second is the wives of David and his children in Yerushalayim, and the third is the war with the Plishtim. The first two psukim contain the gift of Hiram. We're told that Hiram, the king of Tzor, that's Tyre, sends messengers to bring Atzei Arazim v'chorshe kir v'chorshe etzim so livnois loy bias. He sends all kinds of materials and artisans to David HaMelech to make for him a house. At this point in time, we're told Vayeda David. David realizes ki echinoi Hashem l'melech al Yisrael, that he is now the king over all of Israel. Take a quick few questions over here. Where is Tyre? What is Tyre? So Tyre is actually one of the very ancient seaports up in where we have Lebanon today. It was a Phoenician port. Hiram was a Phoenician king, and there is a long-standing relationship between Hiram and the Malchus Beis David. He's going to also supply later on Shlomo HaMelech with much of the furnishings and the necessary supplies for the Beis HaMikdash. At this point in time, it seems that he's sending a mincha, an offering or a gift, a tribute to David HaMelech upon becoming king. Rashi even suggests, interestingly enough, that we know that in Parshas Vayeshev, Yehuda has a relationship with a man called Chira, and that is perhaps his Chira HaAdulami, from Adulam, and that relationship might even go so far as here, where this might be some descendant of his Hiram, who now has a kinship with the house of David HaMelech. It's important to notice that Lebanon is, of course, this place which has many quarries, and it has a lot of stores of wood, which are going to be very important for trade and important for building for Israel, and so he's supplying with this. How does David HaMelech know that he is king over all of Israel? So the Malbim says, because when he realizes that all of Israel come to him to anoint him as king, and now even the enemies, or the not the enemies, but the neighbors, are sending gifts to him, tributes to him, it's a sign that everybody clearly understands that David HaMelech is the new king in the house. We now hear about in the next section, Psukim Gimel to Zion, about the names of the children of David born in Yerushalayim. And we hear about the wives that he marries in Yerushalayim, the children he has. There's a count of 13 children over here, very similar to the list in Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek. Hey, why do we hear about this now? The Chida points out in Sefer Shmuel that the reason is because there's a certain limitation on, at this point in history, on an individual, on a regular proletariat, in terms of their marriages and their children. As David HaMelech becomes a king, there's something about this is seen as a siman of malchus, a sign of kingship, of having many wives and children. So this is an expression of that malchus, which is David HaMelech has achieved right now. So his expanding family, his expanding heirs and relationships. Okay, we now move to the last part of the perek, which is actually, by the way, just one last detail in that is that here in this list we leave out the pilag shim. So it's the concubines, those wives of David HaMelech in the status of Pilegesh are left out. Only the full wives in this, the Chida says, is to honor David HaMelech. Then we hear about from Sukkim Ches to Yudzai in the last part of the perek about the war that David HaMelech has with the Plishtim, the Philistines. The Philistines hear that David HaMelech becomes king, and they decide to wage war against him. So they bring their troops towards him, and they are now spreading out in Emek Rephaim, the valley of Rephaim. And David HaMelech asks Hashem, he says, should I attack the Philistines or not? And Hashem says to him, Alei unasatim biyodecha, do ascend and I will conquer them for you. And he enters a place called Baal Peratzim, the area of Peretz, or breaking through, which is going to be named for the place. And he breaks through, and in fact, it describes sort of like a wave of water breaking through where he is able to, and that's why the place is called Baal Peratzim. And in their fleeing, they leave behind much of their gods, which they brought with them, which David HaMelech immediately burns in fire. Then we hear about the Philistines are not done. They carry on trying this warfare. They want to beat David HaMelech. So they, Vayavshitu Ba'emek, They spread across the valley. Once again, David HaMelech asks Hashem, should I attack them? And Hashem says, don't. Don't attack them from the front. Go around the back. And if you merge this with the Sefer Shmuel, what the reason for this is that they're not going to hear your marching. They're going to be surprised around the back. And that's in fact what David HaMelech does. He comes around their back and he conquers them, a very devastating conquest. And we're told, Vashem Nosan is Pachdoi al Kol Hagoyim, that the fear of David HaMelech is now placed among all the nations. First question, why now? Why are the Philistines attacking right now? So you have to remember, says the Malbim Nechida, that David HaMelech had pretended up till now to be a Baal Bris till pretty recently with Achish, who was the king of one of the Philistine cities. So when David HaMelech becomes the full king, they want to question, maybe we have an insider now who is king over all of Israel. Maybe he can be a subsidiary of us now. And they therefore, when they see this, perhaps as an attempt to subdue David, or an attempt to bring him under their thumb at this moment, that's why they make their attack. How does David HaMelech ask Hashem? Rashi explains, of course, the Urim, the Tumim, they would consult with the Kohen who had the breastplate with the name of Hashem in the wraps, which would enlighten the Kohen by showing certain letters which protruded or lit up to give the answer. Now, it's interesting, the difference between these two battle strategies. The first one, Hashem says attack, the other one, Hashem says go behind. What is the relevance of this? So Ralbag says on the most basic level, Hashem is trying to minimize miracles. So the first one is a direct onslaught. The second one is actually a tactical onslaught. So the general, we sort of speak trajectory, we see Hashem is trying to say, David HaMelech, I want you to do more hishtadlus. I want you to do a little bit on your own as well. I'm trying to wean you off of miracles. That's what the Ralbag suggests. The Chida points out that if you actually look at the words of the names of Hashem in these requests, you'll see that both times David HaMelech asks Elohim, asks Hashem, which is the Midas Hadin. But in the first option, Hashem responds, Vayomer Hashem, the Shem Havaya, the name Yud-Heh, and then Vav, and then Heh. And with that name, that means to say Hashem says, you will have the zchus of conquering them through Midas HaRachmim, meaning to say that Hashem has Rachmim on you as opposed to the Midas Hadin on them. That's what the Chida suggests, the difference between the two battles are. It also is, the Chida points out, an expression of the humility of David HaMelech. You would think that if David HaMelech is fighting a battle against the Philistines, gets the battle, the go-ahead, he gets the green light from God, and now the Philistines attack again, he's just going to jump straight back into battle. After all, he's a seasoned general. Then the answer is no, David HaMelech is going to humbly request permission in two of the battles, even though you could really merge them into one. And Rashi deepens that by saying to us that actually it was a test for David HaMelech. After all, Shaul HaMelech lost his kingship when Shmuel told him, wait here 7 days until I bring the sacrifice and then attack the Philistines. It was again, the enemy was the Philistines. Shaul HaMelech was too scared and he was not able to wait and started gearing up for battle. So the Midas HaDin asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, wait a second. Why should David HaMelech be deserving to pick up Shaul's malchus? Maybe he'll fall into the same trap. So Hashem says, you know what? I'll give him that test. I'll say to him, don't attack in a direct way. Go around in a more difficult and intricate way, and let's see if he listens to the way I suggest the battle goes. And David HaMelech passed that test with flying colors. This is the parallel sugya, the parallel option to what Shaul HaMelech himself had failed at. And finally, one interesting question the Malbim raises, and that is why is this out of order? If you go back to Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Hey, you will notice that in fact, the bringing of the Aaron, the two times that they're bringing the Aaron, in fact, were after all of this. First, David HaMelech gets the supplies from Hiram, and then he builds his house, and then the battles of the Philistines, and then afterwards, we hear about this whole episode of bringing the Aaron to Jerusalem. So the Malbim explains that Sefer Shmuel is putting that there were two times when the Aaron was attempted to be brought to Jerusalem. First, he tried to do it, and Uzzah stretched out, touched the Aaron, and died. And David HaMelech left the Aaron for 3 months in the house of Oved Edom Hagiti, and then tried a second attempt more successfully. Sefer Shmuel lumps those two together because thematically they're the same idea. But Ezra is actually explaining to us in Sefer Divrei Hayamim that in fact in those interleading 3 months are these events, the war of the Philistines and receiving the gifts from Hiram and these marriages, or at least the beginning of the marriages. So what's interesting about this is that what Ezra is pointing out, and the subtlety over here is that before David HaMelech even made his own palace, before that was even made, that was when he first attempted to bring the Aron. Meaning, that first attempt at the beginning of the three-month period was not about his making his palace or Ir David or anything else. It was about securing the Aron. That didn't work the first time, so now he dealt with building his palace in the meantime, but that was his first attempt, which gives us a little more of a clear perspective, which is what Divrei HaYamim is doing to Sefer Shmuel Beis. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.